You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. The sermon for this first midweek service in Advent is according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. One of the things that we talk a simple way to the children of your school here is during Advent, they notice right away there's blue, there's candles, one of them is pink. They notice things, and I say, well, do you know why we have these candles? And they already know that those five there and those five there are because light is helpful. They know that this here is the candle. This shows us that the light of Christ is with us when we're gathered in his house. And I said, in here, we have some special lights that we try to focus on each week in Advent. And of course, we have the light of faith, the light of hope, the light of joy, and the light of love here. And so each week in opening, we spend some time talking about why these things are important for Christians. Because the subject of faith can be so very confusing in our modern culture. Our culture often uses the word faith without supplying any context. You will hear phrases such as, have a little faith, or you gotta have faith. Faith in what or whom? The object of faith is often left up to the hearer. We often receive the impression that a strong faith will simply bend the laws of the universe a little and make things turn our way. As though the current culture kind of really doesn't care what we believe, just as long as we kind of believe in something. And it's sad to say, not a very modern phenomenon. They say, just be sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe. And I say to the fellow bank robber association, I really believe in what we're doing. Then they get upset. It's as if our culture simply asks us to have a little faith in the word faith. One really popular example of this, and I know I don't do this a lot, but is in the Star Wars movies. Yes, it's sort of on my mind right now. In one episode, a young hero named Luke Skywalker travels to a swamp planet in order to learn from a master named Yoda. When Luke tries to retrieve his spaceship from the swamp, he fails. Yoda, the master, retrieves the ship. And at the end of the scene, Luke exclaims, I don't believe it. And then Yoda replies, that is why you fail. If I don't say it in that voice, I'm out of the Star Wars club. The idea is that Luke can do the impossible simply by believing with all his heart that the impossible is actually possible. Another example of this happens in the play Peter Pan. I don't care if I get kicked out of that club. In one famous scene, a major character, the fairy Tinkerbell, is dying but will survive if enough people believe in fairies. In the play, the characters make a plea to the children watching to sustain her by shouting out, I believe in fairies! My best friend since kindergarten was in this play, so I'm still scarred. This is like 1980 when I saw this. But of course, and he was Peter Pan because he weighed like 6 pounds when we were in third grade. The idea is that you say, I believe in fairies, and of course this works in the play, and Tinkerbell returns to full power. Once again, the power of faith comes to the rescue. Now, not asking you to throw out your Star Wars DVDs, I have a receptacle in my office where you can place them and they will go to a good home. Or to stop reading fairy tales to your children and grandchildren because they're delightful. Watching movies and reading fairy tales is an enjoyable pastime. These activities can also help develop kind of fertile imaginations. Unfortunately, many people think that faith has the same power in the real world as it has in movies and fairy tales. They actually believe that mere faith by itself has power. Now, while the power of faith can be a potent force in a movie world like Star Wars or a fairy tale world like Peter Pan, I'm not denying it, faith in and of itself is not the source of power in the real world. Consider the McCullough Bridge. It is a very interesting phenomenon. People in our county love that bridge. Whenever I talk to them about it, they love it. You should ask Mike Bamey about driving his Volkswagen Beetle across it in a horrible snowstorm. It's a great story, but he remembers the bridge so well. People love this bridge. When I moved here, I felt like I need to join a new club. It's a very interesting phenomenon, though, that occurs there every day, though. Everybody who crosses that bridge has faith. They have faith that the bridge will not collapse. They have so much faith that so often they don't even think about it. Actually, not on the solid ground, but on a suspension thing going over. And you know, we don't want to ever think about that bridge not being there, but sadly, bridges fail, and faith in them can become shattered. The power of faith is not in faith itself, but in the object of that faith. Now, getting to Hebrews 11, we read the names of people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and the list goes on. People we know from the Bible. We hear about the Israelites. We see that their faith was in God's existence. Remember that? Don't you love that part in Hebrews when they said, well, first, you got to believe he's real. I love that line. I need that on a t-shirt. Because step one, believe that he's real. God's word, God's promise, God's warning, God's call. In short, God was the object of their faith. In many ways, faith is like a container. In one of my favorite books, The Fire and the Staff by Clement Preuss, I think you should read it. It compares faith to a trick-or-treat bag at Halloween. This is how weird Clement is. Because I'm like, okay, first time I read it, go. It's like a Halloween bag instead of a box of chocolates. As he wrote of his early experiences with Halloween, he remembered traveling throughout the neighborhood collecting goodies. Unfortunately, when he got home, he discovered a hole in the bag. It was empty. All the goodies that the people gave to him were gone. He realized that the key to a successful Halloween was a trustworthy bag. The next year, he took a pillowcase and made out like a bandit. It's a great story because we did that too. My dad already knew, so we never had a bag. We had a pillowcase. Faith is like this trick-or-treat bag. When you don't have it, you lose it. You lose the stuff that's in it. When you do have it, all you think about is what is inside it. When a person does not have faith, we say, well, they're lost. You can't go to heaven without faith. Faith is necessary. But when a person believes, you stop talking about faith and talk only about Jesus. When you confess your faith, you don't talk about how important faith is. Instead, you talk about how important Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you is. Faith is not a condition that a person must meet in order to earn salvation. Faith is something that receives. Faith simply receives all the gracious promises and blessings of God. Faith is actually quite passive. It does nothing. It contributes nothing. It's like the trick-or-treat bag, only instead of receiving sugary treats, it receives the gifts of forgiveness. It receives the gifts of life, the gifts of salvation. Saving faith is the passive recipient of God's service to you. So what must we do to get this faith? That's the beauty of God's plan of salvation. Don't you love it when the disciples are all just fired up and they say to Jesus, increase our faith! I love that! Because he's like, I know, I picture always Jesus going, hand in his forehead in his hand. Increase our faith, he says. And he says, well, if you had this much faith, you couldn't imagine. And so people always are looking for massive amounts. So the beauty that God's plan of salvation, we do nothing. Remember that it comes to our salvation. God does all the work. That includes producing the gift of faith in you. It's a good thing, too, because we don't really have the ability to produce this faith in ourselves. We cannot decide to follow Jesus. We cannot put Jesus in our heart. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul is that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Paul also told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther summarized these Bible teachings in the beginning of the explanation of the third article of the Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, come to my Lord Jesus Christ or believe in him. But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith. An understanding of faith as the Holy Spirit's gift reveals more of the true meaning of Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11 is no longer a simple gallery of some heroes of the faith. Instead, Hebrews 11 praises the God who worked such great faith in these heroes. In these fallen and broken sinners that we love so much. In Hebrews 11, we see a God who is actively at work creating faith in the heart and even working through that faith in the history of the world. By the way, notice that all these heroes are from the Old Testament. If anyone ever asks you how God saved the Old Testament saints, this section of Hebrews is a good place to go. In the last verse in the epistle, we learn that Jesus Christ is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The faith that saved the Old Testament heroes of Hebrews 11 is the same faith that saves you. Not faith in their faith, but faith in the one true God who rescues, who redeems. It is faith in Jesus Christ who purchased our salvation by enduring shame and death on the cross and declared his victory by his resurrection from the dead on the third day and his ascension into heaven. The only difference is that the Old Testament saints looked into the future for their Savior, while we look into the past and the present to Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, God made man, the incarnation and the nativity. He is the Anointed One. One of the other great things about Hebrews 11 is that many of the saints are so tarnished and damaged. We don't see a really Greek hero here in Abraham. He started his life as an idol worshiper and had a child with his wife's servant. Jacob had children by four different women, two wives and two servants. There is Samson who sinned with Delilah and broke his vow to the Lord. There is David who sinned with Bathsheba and then murdered her husband. And of course, Rahab the prostitute says it all. If any of these sinners had to rely on their own character, their own ability to muster up enough God to get going, then they would indeed be lost. They would all be doomed. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit worked faith in all of these people, and they became these heroes that we call in the... There are times that we think God cannot use us because we've just made too many mistakes in our lives. We've done too many things. I'm not talented enough. I'm not, I shouldn't. The fact of the matter is that for everything you accuse yourself of, the devil has 10 more, I guarantee it. The fact of the matter is that if God needed good people to do his work, then none of us would qualify. When we see that the list of Hebrews 11 includes some real scoundrels, we know that the Holy Spirit is at work in anyone's heart. God has the ability to transform any of us, and he has, from an unfaithful thing into a child of God. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.